Patrick C. He's with the Miracles at Work Group of NA in the Central Westmoreland area of NA.
My name is Chuck, and I'm an addict. Always a pleasure to come back to where my recovery really began, in this circle right here. I was telling an addict before the meeting started, I would sit right between that last group of people who are very special people in my life, and I would sit on that last bench, and I would literally listen to the people that spoke right here at this podium, and as soon as they were done, run to my car and sob. I was beginning to feel again. I was beginning to experience life and come back to life, you know, from being out in active addiction for 13 years. I qualify, I guess. And I qualify, and I started to get that message of hope and the promise of freedom right here in this circle. So, you know, for me to be here today, you know, and being asked to speak by the program committee, I'm very grateful. So I thank you for that. When I was told by the programming committee member, who is also a personal friend of mine and also a work associate of mine, that I'd be speaking on gossip or concern, I thought, wow, this person must be really in tune with my life, because this is exactly what I'm going through right now and what I've been going through pretty much this entire year since about, I would say, April of this year. I got clean in April of 2004, and I've been coming to this event pretty much my entire recovery length. But lately, I've been experiencing this real uptick in my recovery, like for the past 2 years. And to do that, I had to make a lot of changes. One of those changes that I made was that I stopped caring so much about others. And I know that sounds cold, and a lot of people might not know what I'm talking about, but I had to let some people that I really cared about go from my life in this program and in this fellowship. And I had to let go, and I had to let God take over. And I prayed hard about it, and I said to myself, and the God of my understanding spoke to me like spoke to you, Vanessa, what can I do? What can I do to better my own life? Because a lot of the times when I care about others, I care too much. I don't have that emotional regulator that says, all right, Chuck, you need to stop caring right now for this person. Like, I don't have that, so I care too much. And then I try to get involved in people's lives out of a spirit of care and concern. And it ends up, a lot of the times, going bad because people don't get it. And a lot of the times, it's my own fault, too. Like, I can't just sit here in this process, and this is what Narcotics Anonymous and working the steps in Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, is that it's not always the other person's fault, but you're not a victim either, you know. That delicate balance in itself is something that I really had to learn in here. And it's all through trial and error. That's the best thing about it. So if I get burnt or if I burn somebody else accidentally today, you know, it's out of a spirit of concern. Like, how can I help you today? How can I help you get this life-saving message of recovery? You know, I say that every time someone asks me to close a meeting and I'm in a meeting and can you take us out? You know, I always pray for the people that haven't gotten this yet. People that know me and have been around for a while, they know what kind of person I am. They also know that I have a lot of defects. You know, I'm going to talk about some of those defects here as I go along, mainly being a gossiper. You know, real quick about gossip. I came around to Narcotics Anonymous in 1998. I had some period of abstinence. And I was in here and out, in and out, in and out. I couldn't make a decision, you know, because I still wanted to actively use. I really did at that point in my life. And at one point, I actually blamed another member of Narcotics Anonymous for gossiping. And that was the reason that I used to say, I'm not coming anymore. Which I found out later was a pretty lame excuse, you know. Excuses are like, what? We all have one. Yeah, opinions, excuses. They're cheap and they're a dime a dozen, you know, and I don't need to have excuses in my life today. I need to do. I need to show up. And I need to finish and I need to complete. You know, the third step teaches me a lot about commitment and being able to complete something, because I was one of those addicts that I started hot. you know, but I could never get it done. You know, I could never complete. And that, you know, that led to a lot of, like, issues in my life, you know, and being who, and, who I've become and, you know, and the man that God is creating, you know, to, for me to be. So I had gossip all through my life, you know, always. It was not about concern for somebody else early on. It was about, oh, what's the hottest new topic, or what's going on, you know, with that person's life, or, you know, I never wanted to be in the center of the circle, though. Like, if gossip came my way, like, I would always, like, either run from it or lie. You know, I'm a great liar, you know, like a lot of us are in here. I can't speak for anybody else, really, but, like, I have to really practice honesty. It's indispensable. It tells me that honesty drives the train. You know, it makes things go. If I'm honest, things work out, usually. And I found that, like, later on in my recovery, working honesty into things didn't always make things go. It made things difficult. Because people had emotions. And people didn't want to hear or weren't ready to hear certain things. And I had to temper that stuff. And for me, again, it was always a trial and error. Like, man, I thought that was really going to work right there until I said that to somebody. And I get, screw you, got out of my face. Like, I can't believe you just said that to me. How dare you? And lost friendships because of it. You know, I cannot even tell you, and it pains me to say this. It really does. Like, how many friendships that I've lost in Narcotics Anonymous and still been able to stay clean? You know, it sucks. It's not something that I'm real proud of either. So today, and like in the last few years of my recovery, I've been trying to actively make, you know, amends, you know, on the ninth step. And, like, and that includes people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Making an effort to call people, you know, being a better sponsor, you know, trying to help others outside of Narcotics Anonymous, which I'm not going to get into, you know, recovery outside of Narcotics Anonymous, but it's something I pride myself on, too. I love helping people in any area. I know that my motto, you know, coming up was servant. I want to serve. I want to help somebody. I like helping other people. I was in Baltimore just for the last 3 days, and I was doing some trainings, and, you know, I met a great group of people, and I love cultural diversity. You know, cultural diversity in our basic text talks about it being our greatest strength in Narcotics Anonymous. Our greatest strength, besides the recovering addict, it is our greatest strength is cultural diversity and the vastness of experience that we can draw upon from one another in this fellowship, you know. And I got to see that firsthand, you know, the last 3 days. You know, so it really excites me that, you know, I can go anywhere, just like Vanessa was talking about, I can go anywhere and experience the Narcotics Anonymous message for what it is, not feed into the bull crap of the meetings or who's got this or that or the fashion show or the flick, you know, anything like that. Again, all through trial and error. So, you know, I'm guilty of gossip. You know, stone me now. bring all your fire you got, because I've felt that brimstone from people. I'm just going to go into some, like, experiences I've had in this past year with people. And it all stems from, like, being honest. And being myself, you know, but yeah, and other addicts having an agenda because they're hurt and they want somebody to take out their ire on, I guess, or their anger. I'm not always the best when it comes to, like, being spiritual. I sometimes react as opposed to respond, you know, and when I get a phone call from another person that was actually special in my life, saying, you're guilty of this, 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 and this against me, I'm gonna beat you up, you know, so the clean version, you know. And I say, and instead of responding, well, let's talk about this, you know, I respond negatively, and I respond with, you know where I live, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into all the kinds of negative, because we're not here for that. We lived our lives through that stuff. This helps us to get out of that stuff and that insanity. You know, these people in this circle help us get out of that insanity when we share where we're at, you know. So that's been my process lately, is getting out of that mental funk that whole situation created for me, you know. And I was really acting out of a sense of concern for one person, but it ended up hurting another, you know. So I have to take a look at that. and I was in Erie, and I was talking to another recovering addict, and this recovering addict says, Chuck, it still doesn't make it right. You know, you're in the wrong. Like, you have to own your part. And, you know, like, my ego and my pride says, you know what, I don't want to own my part because I was trying to help somebody. That was my root cause. No. It doesn't matter, you know, because I didn't do things right. I might have done stuff A, B, and C right, but B and F and C were messed up. So I need to continue to remember that, you know what, I'm an emotional creature. I have strong emotions. My feelings are going to get hurt in this process sometimes. And I may hurt others and without even the intent of doing so. You know, so I need to work in spiritual principles at that point. I need to be able to accept the fact that I screwed up. I need to be able to have some tolerance the next time a situation arises or someone's browbeating me or calling me names, you know, who I once had a real good relationship with or someone I don't know at all. I'm not trying to be here for those reasons anymore, you know. So that kind of shifts my focus to concern, you know. I looked in the back of my fifth edition basic text because I'm still one of them old guys who never bought the sixth one, you know what I mean? Because this works for me, you know what I mean? And working the steps that are in there and reading, like, more will be revealed. Fantastic. One of the places where it talks about concern for others is in More Will Be Revealed. It talks about taking that extra minute, helping a newcomer stay clean one day, every day. It's vital to our own recovery, you know? When I take a moment at the end of a meeting or even at the beginning of a meeting to hug somebody and say welcome, you know? There's an addict in the circle right now. I was with him and we helped create a meeting called More Will Be Revealed. It's no longer in existence. But our intent was to have a meeting in a rural area in a town where he could go, where other people could come. You know, what was the intent of it? You know, I'll stick to that forever, is that I'm trying to help others in communities outside of my own. You know, to be an attraction to recovery and to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I don't want to stand up here and give some kind of mixed message, because that's not what I'm about. You know, I'm about these steps. These traditions, you know, sponsorship, helping others, you know, being a service, being a selfless service. There's another person in this circle right now that has been so valuable and so spiritual in my journey and shown me how to be an appropriate NA member, somebody that really lives this thing, you know, through and through, you know. And they really, truly care about others, you know. They have just recently started a meeting, you know. I know it's going to be fantastic, you know, because it's done out of a sense of concern for others, out of real concern. Like, getting down and working on yourself on paper with somebody else is an intimate and scary thing, you know, but it's what we do here. And if we can do it with more than just one person and our sponsor, the benefits have to be times 10. You know, they have to be. I mean, I've always talked about and wanted to do it, you know, but I see somebody doing it today, and it's a real example of how this thing works, you know. Another thing out of More Will Be Revealed, we come to know ourselves from the first time. We experience new sensations, to love, to be loved, and to know that people care about us, and to have concern and compassion for others. Compassion, what's that? You know, I hear that just as idle chatter sometimes in a meeting, and I don't see it in some of the old rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that I used to go to. Therefore, I don't go to them anymore, you know. I don't want to go somewhere where it's a half hug and talk to you later, okay, like Vanessa was talking about. I want people to know me, the crazy, the enigmatic, the funny, the bad, the indifferent, you know, the poor, whatever, you know. I want to be known. Because if I'm not known, I'm more my tendency is to go to isolation, guilt, shame, all those inroads and cuts that I came from, you know, and ultimately the bag, okay? And that's my main purpose today. It's to not get high today, you know? So you see the large circle that is service, and you see the large capacity that we have. You know, it's always an arm's length away, but have you set yourself up for it? Have you set yourself up for success? We do that through compassion and helping others, reaching out. You know, even though it might mean we don't get the sponsee, you know, the person goes back out, we don't measure up, you know, or our service commitment went wrong somehow. I try not to focus on those things, you know, because those are the differences that help keep me sick. And I can be sick at a moment's notice, like I've shown myself this year. And it doesn't make me too happy, and it's not where I want to be. So, you know, practicing compassion, that really, that empathy and listening to somebody and being there for them, not only on the phone, but in person, you know, driving that extra length to a meeting, you know, going the next any length. That was one of the first readings that I read out of the Just for Daily Meditation that I could really get. You know, like I went to any length to cop. So I better be ready to go to any length to recover, you know, because this disease is on me like all the time. So, and it's on me in the form of gossip, you know, in the form of my ego gets in the way. And, like, I want to be better than, or I want to separate myself from you. And it makes, and it's not the spirit of this fellowship at all. So, and it also hurts. You know, it's very destructive. If you've been a part of it or had rumors told about you, you know what I mean? You can either A, continue to defend yourself fruitlessly, you know, basically. You're not going to get anything out of it by defending yourself. What are we here? Why are we here? You know, why are you here? Are you here to defend yourself? Or are you here to get a new way of life? You know, at the end of Why Are We Here, it talks about, today we experience a full range of feelings. Before coming into the fellowship, we either felt elated or depressed. High levels of up here and high levels of down here. We didn't know what a happy medium was. Our negative sense of self has been replaced by positive concern for others. Answers are provided and problems are solved. It's a great gift to feel human again. Okay? Humanity means I screw up, and so do you. But do you give me the benefit of the doubt, or do you throw me under the bus and make me look bad to keep your own self clean? You know, I'm an addict. You know, I don't need this T-shirt to tell me that I'm an addict. But this is the first thing I was addicted to. I was addicted to another world, and another warp zone, another statistical book that I would keep of games, of a world that I created in my own head to escape a reality that I didn't want to be a part of. Okay? So you tell me that addiction doesn't run deep. Okay? You know, eventually, that screen couldn't save me. The characters in those games couldn't save me. The people in Narcotics Anonymous saved me. Gave me a life. Gave me hope. Gave me a reason to live. And to want to help somebody else and be a human being, you know, full of all the good and bad that we offer, every single one of us. So I know why I'm here, you know, and the change that I've gotten since I've been here has been, it's been electric. It's been awesome, you know, and I know I have much more to go, you know. I don't even know if I can consider myself one of those step-a-year guys, but I know I love recovery, and I know I work it hard. You know, for what I've worked in my own personal book and what I've worked out of the Step Working Guide has been valuable to my life, and it's allowed me to help others. And that's all I ever wanted to do, you know, at the end of the day. Because I was hurting so bad, and I was so desperate, and I had my life had no meaning and no purpose. You know, and I was a walking shell of a human being with a fractured personality that could barely relate to anyone, let alone listen. I was unemployable. I didn't want to live, you know, but too afraid to take myself out, you know. You know, God has spoken to me so many times in this recovery process and in my life, you know, and I'm glad I have a God of my understanding today, you know, that I was able to acquire through working 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. That relationship will continue to grow. When I think about talking negative or, you know, bringing up someone else's situation without their permission, you know, anonymity, you know, I need to think and I need to stop myself, like, listen, That's what's your purpose? What's your motive on that? Check myself before I wreck somebody else and myself. You know, it's not just about me anymore. This is about we. You know, and I can have this benevolent purpose all I want. I'm going to help you, and we're going to talk about this, and blah, blah. You know, in the end, you're going to be like this to me. You're going to tell me to get out of my life. All you've done is hurt me. Bye. You know, if you're even so nice to say bye. No, I don't want that. You know, the people that have stuck in my life are there for a reason. You know, they're not there just so I can dump on them and make them feel bad. How you doing? Good, thanks. Nice to see you. I don't care about anyone, right? Right, sir? Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah, I checked my time, too, here. I want to be a time suck because this is going to be a great weekend, no matter. And every time this weekend comes up, the weather may be poor, you know, but most of the time it's a pretty nice time here. You know what I mean? It's spiritual. If your mind is open and you can hear the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and maybe that one thing that you're working on or that issue that's been getting to you in your life, you know, lately, be it financial or be it friendships or relationships, you know, we get clarity when we come here. We're able to sit and we're able to, you know, with our higher power and with other addicts and just be able to let nature take over and let our minds work the way they're supposed to work, you know, not in that negative dysfunction, but, you know, with clarity and peace and hope and joy and all the spiritual principles, you know. That's what I would want, you know, for you guys for this weekend. One of the last things that I looked under care and concern in the fifth edition was a reading in the very back. It's called Part of the Solution. And I always want to be part of the solution. My self-will drives me away from that solution often, you know. Part of the solution is helping the newcomer, absolutely. So, you know, I ask a couple members, you know, hey, can I be a part of your recovery softball team, you know? And then all of a sudden I think I'm on the Osho, ESPN 8, you know, like I'm some highlight film person, like going all after it and stuff. And, you know, because I love to compete. It's one of the things that drives my motor, you know what I mean? Like, I love that stuff. But this isn't about that, you know, still about unity of purpose and about, like, new hobbies and new recreational pursuits rather than using drugs, you know. Good substitutions today. So when I read pieces of this Parts of the Solution, you know, I just want to be able to, with that situation especially, just turn my will over to God as he would and have me do things, you know. And I want to be a part of it, you know, but I'm still very stubborn. And I think about, you know, like, well, do I have to prove myself? And I get all fall in my head. You know, and I let that whole situation rent space and, like, drive me crazy, you know. And the bottom line is I need to step back, take a look at it, and say, you know, did I help somebody? Did I help, just, you know, if it was one person, you know, in the process, did I help that person? You know, and I may never even get that answer, you know, but at least I can know and rest easy at night. And I still sleep pretty good at night, like, hey, you did help somebody. Or maybe that person you haven't helped yet. I love this part of care and concern in Part of the Solution. Through working the 12 steps, the obsession and compulsion to use will be removed. Having my shortcomings removed is a goal to strive for the rest of my days. It's been shared that the 6th and 7th steps are often the forgotten steps of the program. I don't ever want to forget about the person that I used to be. Ever. You know? So I continue to want to be, to strive for those goals. To make it a point to change as a person. To make it a point to be an example, you know? Even though I may not be at some point in what I say and what I do, I want those two things to match up. You know, if I'm talking one way, I better be acting accordingly. You know, if that's giving a false sense of who I am to somebody else and not a good, accurate representation of what this is about. You know, so I don't want to be in discord and disharmony within myself. I ask each and every day to have my anger removed from my life. You know? And there's a lot of anger in me still, too. Like, I think I go into these fantasy scenarios of how I want to fight people and how I want to, and how this will be a vindication, and you know, I'll be able to get back, and I'll be able to show you, and I'll be able to expose your defects and stuff, and so you can then begin to work on yourself. You know, come on. It's such a joke, you know. It's not even a joke. It's a part of the lie of the disease of addiction that says, I'll take, like Vanessa said too, I'll take the focus off me by focusing on you, yet I'll still feel some kind of way about having that deflection my way. You know? Sick insanity. Part of that negative persona that I used to have. You know, this program tells me to be a part of the solution. You know? So I get with other addicts and I bounce it off of them, you know. How can I get better? How can I stick to my goals, you know? How can I not return to that person who I was with all those defects? Because I don't want, that's what I think, you know, other than getting high, that scares me the most. And I want to have a healthy fear of it, you know? Because not all fear is bad. But the fear that drives me away from you people is one that I need to really recognize, because I don't want to lose you guys, whoever you are out there. You've meant a lot to me over my recovery, and you always will. And I always talk highly of the people that have made a real impression on my life, the people that are working on themselves today, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, you know, in those four areas, you know. And I love them, you know, for doing that, because they're finally putting effort into themselves, that they deserve it. Like John read when we first started, in every single meeting here on after, the recovery that we've come to know, need, and deserve in our lives. You know, I want that. And I want that for today, because it's really all I got is today. You know, like Vanessa, too, I work in Johnstown now, too, so I'm seeing this different recovery community. And I've seen parts of it over my 9 years, you know, this time in recovery, and all the stories and all the people, but I see this different community, and I get the question, you know, how was the meeting? And I say, like she said, it was a meeting. You know what I mean? It was good, because I got to go to a meeting. I felt privileged. I feel good about it. I get to hear some kind of message of hope, clarity, people struggling, people feeling good. It's still there. I just got to change the tuner a little bit. Just change the knob a couple of dials, you know. And it's not dialed down or out. It's just change, you know. It sets my radar right, you know, and it gets me to hear. My ears still work, you know. And I love helping those guys where I work, too. I see their eyes light up, and I see them, you know, think. And I see some of them get a little bit mad, you know, too. You know, and then I'm ready for de-escalation. Whoa, you know, on high alert and stuff. But that hasn't happened yet, but it won't. But I thank goodness, you know, that I have the opportunity to help those guys, you know, whether they're 56 or 22. They deserve it too, you know. And I can be a part of help, like, you know, people were for me when I walked in the door, and the rehabs I went to, and the group, and the large groups that I was in, you know. And the crisis interventions and all the workshops and all the places and times that, you know, that I've been in front of a police officer, you know. It's all collective experience, folks, and I love it, and it's all part of Narcotics Anonymous for me today and being who I am and, you know, enacting change in my life. So, again, I'd like to thank the committee and thank my friends for showing up. I love you guys. Thanks.